I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. So this past weekend saw the release of Maleficent, debuting director Richard Stromberg's take on the Sleeping Beauty tale, this time told from the viewpoint of the evil fairy, who it turns out, surprise, surprise, is not as thoroughly evil as we once thought. It's a good film, not the least because it's half the running time of a Peter Jackson Hobbit film, and I'm serious about that, given that fantasy films have become highly art-produced, CG-infused tangents to begin with. You don't really need to clot the tangent with more tangents. That it's a revisionist take, addressing the classic story from a new angle and a quasi-feminist outlook, rather than just an origin story, also helps. There's more to hang on to here and enjoy, even if Angelina Jolie, as the title character, manages to look imperious without giving the character the charisma that would back that up, and the whole exercise still feels a little too obviously like the latest move in Disney's campaign to turn their roster of villains into a franchise as potent as their princesses. This is actually one of their more successful forays, so good for that. But let's look back now at the big franchise release that took place over the Memorial Day weekend. One thing that can be said for X-Men Days of Future Past is that director Bryan Singer does absolutely nothing with Peter Dinklage. This is a good thing. Follow me on this. Peter Dinklage is, of course, a very good actor. In X-Men, he plays Bolivar Trask, a scientist and industrialist whose assassination in the 70s by the mutant shapeshifter Mystique, played by Jennifer Lawrence, sets the stage for an apocalyptic future in which robotic sentinels have exterminated not only the perceived mutant threat, but practically the whole of humanity. Peter Dinklage is also a little person, a point that Game of Thrones took advantage of in a recent episode that gave the actor one of the most intense monologues delivered by a character on that series, and that X-Men takes advantage of not at all. Not one character points it out, it doesn't serve as a plot point anywhere, and in a franchise one of whose points is to examine prejudice and how its victims confront that fear and hatred, it's not even employed as subtext. Its non-presence is the subtext, Singer's subtle observation of how bigotry redirects depending on which target will accrue it the most power. This is interesting. Days of Future Past starts off in that apocalyptic, possibly near future, with the remnants of our mutant heroes, including Patrick Stewart's Professor X, Ian McKellen's Magneto, and Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, all but vanquished by the horrifically adaptable and formidable Sentinels. But the narrative rapidly shifts focus to 1973 as Wolverine's present-day consciousness is transported to his indestructible 1970s body in an effort to rally both Professor X and Magneto, now played by James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender respectively, to foil Mystique's assassination attempt. Given that X-Men had its birth as a reflection of the civil rights struggle of the 60s, that choice of year does not appear to be random. It's set at the final act of America's loss of innocence, a period which started with the Kennedy assassination referenced in the film, and ended with Watergate, and was maybe the last time that our superheroes could be unambiguous fighters for justice. The gray areas are noted here in a visit to the Vietnam War and the ensuing peace talks that are portrayed in the film with more than a little cynicism. And when Trask pitches his mutant-hunting Sentinel Force to Richard Nixon, the president who invented the Southern Strategy, as a way of leveraging off fears of civil rights advances after all, he invokes the notion that mutants could be anyone and anywhere, casting veritable catnip to the pathologically paranoid cat. None of this is particularly overt. Bryan Singer knows his mission here, and X-Men Days of Future Past is chock full of mutants engaging in incredible and exquisitely choreographed action sequences. But after too long and too many sequels and spin-offs where you looked at these characters, including such central figures as Charles Xavier and Eric Lenscher, and said, "Who are these guys and why should I care?" Singer brings us back to a personal investment in the fates of our heroes and villains. The way Singer fills in personalities, even for such relative walk-ons as Quicksilver, here portrayed as a teen, so the jurisdictional dispute between Fox and Disney over the character's impending appearance in the next Avengers film is essentially short-circuited, is bracing indeed. This is the other advantage. For all the action, the focus of the film is Xavier's and Lencher's battle for Mystique's soul. And within that battle, the core X-Men struggle between peaceful acceptance and radicalized revolution is once again brought to the fore. It's as if Singer looked at what had been going on and said, "Here, let me put this back to rights," and then managed to get things back to the thematic basics in the most satisfying and entertaining way possible. X-Men: Days of Future Past is a top-notch comic book movie and a reminder of what made the franchise so special to begin with. I'm Dan Persons. Remember, we are now archiving these reviews over at CineFantastic Online. Catch up on what you missed by going to cfqonline.com.